She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And I can promise you one thing about today's show. It's going to test your limits of your ability, my ability, our listeners' ability, our tribe, to think, to get to the bottom of a controversial issue, to ask yourself, am I willing to open my mind? I mean, I'm going off on a little diatribe, but my regular listeners are so used to this. And I want to first start by thanking our sponsor, who makes many of our shows possible, the Fairfax Companies. They are true leaders in the business of sustainability. And as always, we thank them for their support from day one and for everything they do to make our world a healthier, more sustainable one. You can learn more about them by visiting their website at thefairfaxcompanies.com. So get ready for another great guest and a great show. The name of our show for this hour is Climate Engineering, A Clear and Present Danger. Our guest is Dane Wigington. He has a background in renewable energy. He is a former employee of Bechtel Power Corporation, and he is also the lead research for geoengineeringwatch.org. He has investigated all levels of geoengineering from chemtrails. From what I can find going down the research rabbit hole, exhaustive research. And on a personal level, his residence was featured in a cover article on the world's largest renewable energy magazine, Home Power. He owns a large wildlife preserve next to Lake Shasta in Northern California, which is really a lot of what led him to be on this journey of discovery and then going after some hard science. So, Dane, how's that for an intro?
Well, thank you, Gina. And I, again, this is a battle I've stated many times and I never wanted. I've never been an activist or politically oriented at all. But when one has done the research and understands the gravity of this issue, which really supersedes all other issues, then you're faced with a decision to engage or to ignore the most immediate and dire threat of all that we face, superseding even events like Fukushima. And I can elaborate on that if you...
I want you to elaborate on a lot of it, because you know that we're going to have deniers, as in we have climate change deniers. And to me, the more I read about you, the more I thought this guy has a lot of guts, because he's going to have to take a lot of shots. So let's start with, what the heck is geoengineering? Everybody does not know what that means.
The science terms are very, very important to retain credibility on this issue. The chemtrails term, I would highly recommend everyone avoiding like the plague. There's no scientific basis in the term, and it is the trigger term to be immediately marginalized by anyone in an agency, any elected official. They'll pull out their boilerplate sheet from the government that states this is all a hoax. They can't do that when you use the climate engineering, geoengineering, or solar radiation management terms. What this is the deliberate intervention with the planetary climate system on a global level. There's no question these programs are going on, and for those that deny, I would challenge them with this. We have film footage of the crimes happening. End of the argument. We have up-close footage of military tankers, KC-10s, KC-135s, C-17s, spraying at altitude, film that had to be taken by another Air Force aircraft from directly behind, again, nozzles visible. We have mountains of toxic heavy metals raining down on all of us, aluminum being a primary element. And to back this up, something we mentioned real briefly, and I'll give it back to you, Gina, that off the air, what is not being discussed and still not known, even in environmental circles, is that what we have said all along is, in fact, true with the bee colony collapse disorder. There is a much, much bigger factor than the farm chemicals, which is trying to be used as the single primary source of the collapse. We now have peer-reviewed study, and I'm sending you a screenshot of articles from multiple sources, including CNN, Daily Mail, RT TV, Science Daily, The bees are packed with aluminum, 70 times more aluminum than what it takes to cause Alzheimer's and dementia in a human brain, and the bees are exhibiting signs of dementia, and this is the primary cause of colony collapse disorder. We knew this all along. I've tried to communicate to some of the head beekeepers that the bees were dying just as fast 1,000 miles away from the nearest farm. So we have a bottom line is an environmental cataclysm linked directly to climate engineering, shredding the ozone layer, disrupting the rain cycles, toxifying our air, soils, and waters. I could go on.
And I don't really want it to go back to me. I think that you have a lot to say, and I will throw in questions from time to time. But the bees. I talk about the bees all the time. I've had the head of the Pollinator Partnership for the United States on the show, and we can't really survive very well without our pollinators. One third of our food just comes from bees alone. You can't do it without it. So, you know, bring it on. So what do you mean aluminum?
Well,
you know,
again,
make the link from these tankers to how it's getting to the bee colonies.
You'll hear people who try to deny this issue stating that, well, aluminum is a very abundant element in the environment, which is true. But they never state this. Aluminum does not exist in the environment in free form, period. In order for it to be in free bioavailable form, it must be mined and refined and dispersed. Aluminum is a primary element in numerous climate engineering patents assigned to companies like Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, and the U.S. Department of Defense. So where did this aluminum come from that's now saturating the entire planet? The entire planet. Here's a few headlines. This is from Science Daily. I'm sure you recognize
these
organizations.
So aluminum. Credible.
Yes, aluminum, new factor in the decline of bee populations. From RTTV, bees with Alzheimer's, aluminum pollution linked to bee decline. From CNN, are bees getting dementia? CNN, Daily Mail, bees suffer dementia due to aluminum pollution. Why aren't people being told this fact? And we see the same results happening in the human population. We've seen now, statistically, 1 in 3 seniors in the U.S. dies with Alzheimer's and or dementia, not from it, but with it. We're seeing Alzheimer's and dementia patients now in their 40s. Every human test subject tested for is packed with the same heavy metals listed in climate engineering patents. And again, to make clear, the climate engineering involves several steps. Saturating the atmosphere with light-scattering, electrically conductive particulates.
Okay.
So these particulates can then be maneuvered, manipulated, with exposure to radio frequency signals, also hugely harmful to us, the environment, the entire web of life. But there's no regard for the consequences here. So these programs have been going on, we have data to prove this, since at least the late 40s. And all we're trying to do, Geoengineering Watch doesn't sell anything. We're simply there as a resource for people to understand the gravity of this issue. And if we shrink it down to the bottom line nuts and bolts, Gina, even superseding Fukushima, the current climate disintegration, I mean, this is not a climate. We're not undergoing climate change. We're undergoing a climate shift. It's far worse than climate change. And when people talk about, and people do, I know you've heard it, that Al Gore, all his data was wrong. Well, they are right about that. It was wrong, but in the opposite direction of what people think. It's far worse than anything Al Gore said. Climate change or climate shift could not be more real. But even superseding all these things, if we can't walk out the door and breathe without sucking in a lung full of toxic heavy metals that is rendering us all less cognitively functional every day, how are we to face any challenge? And it's shredding, again, the ozone layer is being completely torn apart. We're seeing UV levels, UVB levels, 1,000% higher than we're being told. It's scorching trees, killing plankton. Climate engineering is the greatest assault against the web of life on the planet today.
Okay. So let me ask you this. So let's go into, we've got to go down to like the basic level for me and many listeners like me. So the companies that you're talking about, the Raytheons and on, are the metals that they are putting into the atmosphere based on your research and testing and cameras, are they byproducts of the things they manufacture? Like what is their intention? Is it stuff they need to get rid of and there's no place to put it? How does this, you know, what's the big picture in terms of why is all this crap being put up in the air and therefore raining down on us?
Okay, that's a profoundly important question. It's all the above. Now, one, we're talking about a phenomenal amount of material. Stated goals of world-recognized engineers like David Keith from Harvard is to put 20 million tons of this aluminum nanoparticulate into the air annually. That's a phenomenal amount. That equates mathematically to about a 1,000 tankers a day, dumping 60 to 70 tons per tanker. Now, where would they get all this material? Recent studies, and we now have, as of about 2 weeks ago, peer-reviewed science journal study that links the chemical signature of what's raining down on us to coal fly ash as a base material for these programs. Why would that be used? One, the EPA has categorized coal fly ash as non-hazardous, which should be astounding to anybody, everybody. It's a material they're trying desperately to find a use for. It has many of the light scattering elements like aluminum and barium that are called for in geoengineering patents, and it does appear to be a base material, and it also provides plausible deniability for those that are using this to have a potential out for where this material is coming from. But in the quantity it's coming down, we know it is not simply a byproduct of coal-fired power plants. For example, the amount of aluminum in Northern California, as measured at the state-certified lab, went from a baseline of 7 parts per billion in 2006 when we first began to do our lab testing, which is already high given our filtered forested location. It climbed as much as 50,000% within a year in a single rain event, 3,450 parts per billion. Cannot be coming from China. California Air Resources Board studies prove that. Has to be of local origin. And my background in solar, this is what got me to studying this issue. Again, I was losing 60, 70, 80% of my solar uptake from what these aircraft were dispersing. And the dispersions, and clearly all these dots connect. The soil pH changes, which we would expect to see from such a material as coal fly ash and the constituents that are in it. We've seen soil pH changes in the Pacific Northwest, which normally has acidic soils. We've seen pH escalations from 10 to 12 times toward alkaline in 10 years. In that time, we've seen decline in the same zone of Northern California. We've seen aquatic and terrestrial insects decline by 90% of virtual crash, and this is measured by Forest Service biologists. We are absolutely imploding toward a planet that will not sustain life. And again, I know we have loads of problems, 100 million tons of CO2 into the atmosphere a day, massive problem cutting down the forest, massive problem, but mathematically speaking, nothing compares to the cataclysm climate engineering is causing globally, from the droughts, the fires, and it becomes complex when you intermingle what we know to be the other anthropogenic effects. But when we look at the overall picture again, mathematically speaking, climate engineering is the largest destructive factor on the planet today.
And the forest burning. I mean, I go around saying, you know, not being funny, but people that know me saying, the world is burning, the world is burning. And in Washington, 3 lives already from Forest Service people, and basically what NPR said is the forest just explodes. I mean, it just gets so hot. There are explosions because the intensity of the heat, and it just, everybody that's in the belief system of, you know, it's climate change, it's drought, we're drying up, this is just another major factor from where I sit to have us look at and open our minds and start saying, okay, what else is going on here? Dane, talk to us about your journey and why you started getting so passionate about this, because you had a background, you have a wildlife preserve. What were you starting to see that said, huh, this doesn't make sense, this is bad, whatever? What started you on the journey, which you knew was going to be a very high profile, am I ready to take the shots?
Well, there's simply no choice. Again, standing on the plank is irrelevant if you're on a ship that's going to sink anyway. So,
good point.
One has to face this issue, period. And in addition to the solar loss I mentioned, my father was an arborist. I know trees very well. I've always been extremely passionate about trees and their part in our world ecosystem. And I was certainly noting tree decline in my habitat preserve, which I've done 6 federal and state cost share habitat restoration projects on with a lot of my own resources. And in spite of everything we could do, tree decline was becoming truly drastic. And we saw some of the greatest decline in the riparian areas with trees that had their feet in the water. Now, how can that be?
Right.
Because of the bioavailable metals in the rain, and that's where those metals accumulate most, in those runoff areas. So when we look at the droughts and the notion that this is all a result of quote-unquote climate change, and it's, again, we're entering what really amounts to a climate shift. It's so radical and
right.
rapid.
Agreed.
But the atmosphere carries 7% more moisture for every degree of warming centigrade. It should be raining more, not less. And in fact, even though we have deluge in many places, we have more protracted drought around the planet than ever before, by far, and this can only happen if there's an element in the equation that's not being acknowledged by the climate science community for a lot of reasons. One, they're under tremendous threat if they address this issue. We know that firsthand. I've spoken to NOAA scientists firsthand and been told this. So when we have an atmosphere that's saturated with light scattering particulates, which thwart evaporation, it blocks direct sunlight. That's a direct component of evaporation. It changes convection, which alters wind, reduces wind. We now have what's called global stilling, less wind overall, less evaporation overall. Atmospheric relative humidity is dropping, which is completely against the laws of physics on a warming planet. It can only happen with an atmosphere saturated with the light scattering desiccant particulates I've just outlined.
It just, you know, it just knocks my socks off. So we're talking about one of the terms that I think is somewhat pejorative, but as soon as I saw it, I looked more, read more, looked at what people are saying about your movement, you know, the naysayers, the attackers, whatever, get to some level of truth here. It's really weather warfare. I mean, there's lots of speculation as to the reality of its existence, but are we talking about like weather warfare, like biological warfare?
Any form of climate engineering or modification must be considered weather warfare and biological warfare. They cannot be separated. Any material dispersion in the atmosphere has to come down to Earth, has to be inhaled and absorbed by all life, and any disruption in the natural climate system disrupts the entire system. This is insanity of the first order. It's the epitome of human insanity for the entire length of the human race. And in regard to the drought, if we look at that a little closer, because this is a huge ramification that starts to fuel a feedback loop. You know, when we have forest burning, we have much more carbon going into the atmosphere. We have soot settling down on what's left of the cryosphere, the ice on the planet, which makes it darker, which takes away its albedo, which starts it to melt faster, which then warms seawater and releases methane, another climate feedback loop. How is geoengineering affecting drought? And again, I was in Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom's office in California, the state capitol, with his aides, presenting data 2 years ago that this right. would happen. It couldn't not happen. Given what we see on satellite, the blanket spraying of the storm track off of the coast of California, it couldn't not happen. So we have a loss of evaporation, a disruption of the storm formation upwind from the U.S. West Coast. We have a shredded ozone layer, which is scorching and killing trees, leaving a lot of dead branches, defoliated trees, a lot of duff on the ground. We have bioavailable materials in the rain. We know this. We have 70 lab tests in Northern California alone that then cause the trees to shut down nutrient uptake to protect their DNA. We have a peer-reviewed study on that. So they start to die slowly, and we have an incendiary dust coating the foliage with more dry lightning because we have a more conductive atmosphere.
Right.
From every conceivable direction, Gina, geoengineering is absolutely fueling planetary meltdown, not mitigating it, as we're told. Solar radiation management, we're told, is an effort to block the sun to reduce some of the thermal energy buildup. But when the whole equation is considered, it's trapping more heat than it deflects. All the other factors I mentioned, it is helping to fuel the planetary meltdown overall.
Just, you know, it's so massive to absorb. And believe it or not, we are up on our first break. And I'm like, what? That was like about a two-minute segment. So anyway, when we come back, there's a lot I want to talk about. It's not all sequential. I had my whirling dervish brain going on steroids. But I would like to talk and make sure that we cover things like how it's impacting not just the health of the planet, but of course, integrated to that, is our health. I go around, Dane, saying the kids are getting sicker, the younger kids are getting sicker, more kids are getting sicker, my friends are getting sicker, these are weird diagnoses, and I'm becoming my own conspiracy theorist in my head. which isn't really a good place for me to go. I need to get the word out and start, you know, helping really passionately to spread awareness. But anyway, lots more questions when we come back. Wonderful guest, Dane Wigington, Climate Engineering, A Clear and Present Danger. Everybody, please stay here with me and keep your minds wide open.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at mrsgreensworld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at mrsgreensworld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the Igloo radio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmer Glass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@mrsgreensworld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks so much for being with us. The name of our show today for this hour is Climate Engineering, A Clear and Present Danger. Our guest is Dane Wigington. Dane has a background in renewable energy and is a former employee of Bechtel Power Corporation. He is also the lead research for geoengineeringwatch.org, and for the past 10 years at least, has investigated all levels of geoengineering from chemtrails. So, Dane, thanks for being with us. Thanks for the courage you have in getting the word out. And I was thinking on the short break, you're not like swimming with a lot of quacks in many of these cases. We're talking about the U.S. Forest Service and really credible sources. But I want to come back to if you can answer it. And if you can't, I understand. But why is all of this, you know, aerial dumping is what I'm going to call it. Why is it being done? Is there just if you can answer that, fine. It doesn't, you know, I need to know if there is a why. Why are they doing this?
There's many whys. First of all, and for they, so I can head that question off right now. Two people ask, who are they? All roads lead back to the central bankers. All roads.
Oh.
Central bankers can print whatever they want. They control the military.
It's about money.
Exactly. And so this is why we have the conflicts in the Middle East. It's about keeping one of the primary reasons. It's not just about resources. It's about retaining the dollars, the global reserve currency, which allows them to keep programs like climate engineering going because they can print whatever they want. Now, if we look at the inception of these programs going back on a large scale, going back to the late 40s when they really started, and there are lots of ramp-ups along the way, but a primary stated purpose, again, solar radiation management to slow down some of the heating of the planet. The planet right now, by the way, is heating at the approximate rate of over 4 Hiroshima bombs, the thermal energy contained in 4 Hiroshima bombs per second, 400,000 per day.
Oh, that is not something I want to hear. We're burning up. We're burning up. And I have grandchildren.
We're in a runaway greenhouse event right now. So solar radiation management is the very tunnel-visioned approach to trying to just fill the atmosphere with light-scattering particles. Again, this is worse than even most pharmaceutical approaches we see for the human body. I use this example a lot. Again, how many commercials do we all see? You know, take this for this ailment. By the way, here's 20 other things that are far worse. Next commercial's an attorney telling you if you took this, you get to sue.
Right.
It's this mentality on steroids. And there's no one to stop these people. No one. There's no regulation, no oversight. They're too heavily invested. All they know how to do is keep doubling down. The more damage they do, the more decimated the atmosphere is, the more they feel they have to ramp up the spraying to even higher levels to mitigate for the damage already done. This is the epitome, again, of human insanity. And there's so many other aspects which we are exposed as the ozone layer is torn apart. Now if we have a CME, a major coronal mass ejection, like the Kerrigan event, we'll have grids shut down around the globe. We have no more natural protection from such events. And as grids shut down, we may have Fukushima times 100 or 200. But back to the overall reasons, again, it's the stated purpose of solar radiation management to slow a runaway greenhouse effect, even though this is actually fueling it. All available data indicates that conclusion. It's weather warfare. If we look at every country that has allowed U.S. occupation going back decades to the sub-Saharan African countries that were droughted into oblivion and then allowed U.S. occupation. This is the covert weapon of choice. Oh. Every single Middle Eastern country that has recently been destabilized and toppled, everyone was subjected to record drought, destabilizing societies before those countries were toppled. And we have leaders of countries, like the leaders of Iran, on the floor of the UN, stating publicly their countries were being droughted out by NATO weather modification programs. Pakistan 2010, when Pakistan showed resistance to U.S. policy, they found their country immediately buried under 20% water. 20% of the country was covered in water. Thailand 2011, Thailand refused the U.S. an airbase that they knew was for weather modification. Record flooding in Thailand. This is the weapon of choice by the power structure. And so we have those aspects. We have a document from 1966, 80 pages long. People can find this on Geoengineering Watch. Presidential document outlining the scope and scale of the weather modification programs. Even then, we have proof of all this. I only ask people to investigate. And 10 federal agencies involved, 12 major universities, and the stated purpose in that document was basically the government felt it was its responsibility to play God with the weather, to decide where it rained too much, where it didn't rain enough. We have all of these aspects, Gina. In addition to that, on the sickness you mentioned, a population that is sick and not thinking clearly doesn't tend to be able to stand up to what's happening to them. And it's really impossible not to include this element. They know how lethal this is. When you mix these metals together, they're lethal in and of themselves. But when you mix them together, you get synergistic toxicity. In the case of mercury and aluminum, we now have both in our systems. When you combine those metals, toxicity can increase as much as 10,000%. Peer-reviewed study says so. So all the above, there's many layers to this onion.
And we talk about it on a personal level, and I think maybe three times in 8 years I got really emotional on shows to the point where, like, you can hear my voice cracking. But on a personal level, I don't think a week goes by anymore that someone I love doesn't call me or email me or put on Facebook about, very recently, 3 weeks ago, a friend called me, can I go for a glass of wine? And one of her best friends has a, quote-unquote, rare form of breast cancer. She's the youngest patient her oncologist has ever seen. And he said, he looked her dead in the eye and said, I'm just going to tell you right now that this is not my official opinion, but it's environmental. Clearly. And I work with the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society, and I'm like, is there a sale on leukemia for children? Because it's, and I don't say that with irreverence. It's like all these kids getting sick. So we need to go on more about that. But my sick brain was really my sarcastic brain is. So it would be a good time to, this is so sick, should I say this on the air, to invest in aluminum futures with the climate talks coming up. Like, why would I even say that? It's not funny. And you can comment on it. And the other thing is, where's Monsanto in this? I love shows to go by. They're just a cheap shot that I love to take because I don't like them. I don't like anything about their existence on the planet. You know, I have friends who are scientists trying to convince me of the good they're doing to stave off starvation. And I'm like, it's all about the money. It's about the money. They don't care if I live or die. It's about the money. So that's my little rant. Talk to me about aluminum futures, or is Monsanto's finger in this pie from what you can find?
I'll get to that. And let's go to the aluminum futures because that's a very important question. And I monitored.
It's disgusting.
I monitored after the Copenhagen Climate Conference and the Cancun Climate Conference. And by the way, at both of those conferences, there were record cold temperatures. At the conference, at the time of the events took place, in spite of warmer temperatures in all the surrounding areas, how can that be? How can that be if that's not a demonstration of geoengineering, that it can, it absolutely can, temporarily and toxically cool down large regions at the cost of making the overall warming worse? Are we to think it's a coincidence that at both of those conferences, such incredibly anomalous conditions were present as record cold temperatures at the conference at that time? And about the aluminum futures, after both conferences, aluminum futures went up a staggering 25-27% in that range. Backdoor deals were clearly being made, agreements being made, countries being forced to accept these programs. There's no question about this connection. Absolutely, positively, no question. Monsanto, where do they fit in? They absolutely are a part of this cabal. I would argue more as a disaster capitalist, as a vulture feasting on the carrion.
Oh, my God, I'm writing that down. Disaster capitalist.
Now, Monsanto is engineering drought-resistant seeds, UV-resistant seeds, because, again, we have a now decimated ozone layer, northern and southern hemispheres, and aluminum-resistant seeds. So Monsanto is trying to capitalize on this, and Monsanto bought Climate Corp. I spoke in the March for Monsanto in 2014 in San Francisco in front of Climate Corp at their request, at the March Against Monsanto's request, to highlight the fact that Monsanto bought Climate Corp for almost $1 billion. Why would they make such a purchase? It's clearly not worth that, because they had to help control the message. They have to help hide the tracks of climate engineering. And we have defense industry contractors like Raytheon and Lockheed Martin doing all the weather modification, or modeling, excuse me. These are primary weather modification contractors, patent holders. They do all the weather modeling for the National Weather Service and NOAA. Bain Capital and Blackstone own Weather Channel, corporate players. They have to control the message. Rothschilds owns Weather Central. We have the foxes running the hen house from top to bottom, controlling the message with meteorologists that are simply reading scripts, paid liars, to hide the tracks of climate engineering, to try to explain everything away as quote-unquote natural. How can anything be natural when you have such a massive mechanism with the express purpose of altering the climate system? And how can so many be willing to lie for a paycheck and a pension? It's a sad testimony to society, Gina.
And I, you know, I talked to you a little bit off air about, let me stay on track for a minute, because there's a scientist that I read about. His name is David Brin. I was not aware of him. He's a scientist. He's an author and, by the way, a consultant for NASA. So here's another very credible, you know, here everybody knows NASA. And here's what he said. Opponents of geoengineering have long argued that even conducting research on the subject presents a moral hazard that could distract society from the necessary task of reducing the emissions that are causing warming in the first place. And this is what I loved. I have long held that this reflex reveals a monomaniacal insanity. I know, I would love this guy. Almost 1% as bad as the insanity of the climate denial cult. So this is a scientist that's saying, are you ready to pay attention to this? And why is everybody running to the finish line of trying to discredit it? What are they afraid of? That's where my brain goes. What are they afraid of?
As far as addressing this issue?
Oh, yeah.
They're afraid of their lives, or perhaps, you know, certainly much more than their paycheck or pension. We've had a lot of climate scientists die very anomalously recently, even this year. We had the world's recognized expert on Arctic ice, Peter Wedhams, temporarily went on the record saying he felt that his colleagues had been eliminated, at least three. Somebody rattled his cage, and he retracted the statement. We've had a lot of scientists die this year. Look it up. I challenge your listeners to look this up. And to think that this wouldn't happen. Let's look at John Wheeler in 2012 or 2011. John Wheeler was a former Bush aide. According to witnesses, he was seen outside the Pentagon stating that he was going to disclose these programs. His body was found in the landfill 2 days later. Why wouldn't they try to hide these programs? And those who are on the inside are dealt with very, very harshly. NOAA scientist, to my face, said this, and I quote verbatim. She said, we all know about these programs. We're alarmed as hell. We don't know what to do. We have no First Amendment protection, or worse. And let's look at a couple other facts. One, we have the Obama administration prosecuting more whistleblowers than all other administrations combined. We have the top U.S. military brass on the record. Again, I don't want anybody to believe me. Please search this online. All U.S. military leaders stating on the record the greatest and most immediate threat of all to U.S. national security is the climate implosion. Are we to think that they are going to ask our permission before they intervene with the climate? That's a very naive notion.
Very naive notion. But are some people coming to you? I mean, I have a story that I'm going to be a part of being told, but a very, very dear friend of mine, her husband was absolutely and positively, undeniably killed by our own government when he was unearthing a drug ring in South America. And it kind of changed my life forever, like that our government could do that. So that's where you start for me. It's like testing everything, and that's really getting off the track a little bit. But the government, are people inside, there are always people that are seeing this. Are some of them coming to you? Anybody from the military coming and saying, we can't talk to you, we'll lose our jobs, but here's what we see going on? Do you have that support coming from anywhere?
I've had extensive communication with Major General Albert Stubblebine, Army Major General. He's openly speaking out about this issue. I've done an interview with him. I got a call 2 months ago from an Air Force general who reached out to me. I'm in regular communication with him. He's actually communicating with, he's not ready to release his name, but I know who he is. Was very easy to research, and he is communicating with our attorneys team. We have 6 U.S. attorneys and 2 Canadian that are working on this issue to simply trying to disclose. It's not about winning a lawsuit. It's about filing a credible lawsuit and gaining the media attention that this issue so desperately needs, and through discovery, there would be no more hiding this issue. And all we have to do is put a crack in the dam. That's all. Once people find out, once they really understand this has been going on, there's not a living, breathing human on this planet that hasn't been irreparably harmed. You mentioned the children. They are particularly susceptible to these incredibly microscopic nanoparticulates. The smaller the particle, the more lethal they are. Massive immune suppressant, barium, aluminum, the list of effects from aluminum is endless. It's virtually endless. It's extremely toxic. And all of this is being absorbed in all of us. So when we look at our government and those who think our government would not do this, people need to understand our government is nothing more than state-sponsored mafia. That's what it is. We're not a country with a government. We have a government that owns a country, back to the central bankers. And that's exactly the scenario we face. The train is so far off the rails. We are fighting for our lives at this point. And anyone who doubts that should look at these statistics. In the last 40 years, human populations have doubled. Global wildlife populations have declined by two-thirds, nearly two-thirds. We're losing 200 to 300 species of plant and animal and insect a day to extinction. We're in the 6th great mass extinction now. We are all, if we stay on this track, we are on an extremely limited time horizon before total global extinction. That's a mathematical fact.
It's really, really and truly insanity. I mean, it really is. And, you know, when you're talking about children's health, I read a lot about that because my background was in, you know, managing large volume mental health contracts. And the number of kids being diagnosed with asthma at younger ages is now epidemic. So what is that from? Breathing. I mean, that's why kids have all these breathing disorders, asthma, and, you know, my friend who's a pediatric neurologist, she's ready to quit, like literally stop being a doctor because she cannot stand to see the level and the growth of sick children. They're coming in to her to see a neurologist. You know, it's all the proof is there, and we're going to have to start putting it together. What about the, you know, like, I guess there's a question in here about the levels of cover-up. I mean, is there just, how come more of it can't come out? You have compelling photographs on your website. And I really look, I don't want to be a pushover. I want to ask hard questions and tough questions. But if you go to your website and you follow links and you check other sources, what do people say about your photographs? That they're like, you know, did you manipulate them or whatever? I mean, I look at them like, are you kidding me? Look at this. This is disgusting. It's my air that I'm supposed to be able to breathe, and the chemical engineers are winning.
If I could drop back for a moment to the epidemic, asthma, and breathing issues.
Awful.
We have respiratory mortality in the continental U.S. between 2005 and 2010 went from 8th on the list to 3rd. That's a gargantuan increase. We think it may be in 2nd. CDC's hiding it. 4,400 people a day dying in China from respiratory mortality, 4,400 a day. How can this be happening, especially in the U.S., when we are told our air is cleaner? Because that is a massive lie. Just like we were told we had no risk from Fukushima radiation when they adjusted the, quote, safe radiation level 10,000% higher. The system is built on lies. It's designed. We have organizations like EPA and the rest whose purpose it is not to inform the public of dangers, but to hide those dangers from the population. That is their true purpose. And again, I've been in high-level EPA meetings. I'm not shooting from the hip on this. And again, if our air is cleaner, how can we have so much respiratory mortality? And how can we have autism directly related
autism,
to aluminum.
Autism, another one.
So let's look at statistics.
All right, autism, we have to take a break, so hold with that.
Sure,
because
we'll get back.
I mean, can you believe that it's another 20 minutes went by? I don't know if you can, but I cannot believe it. So just stay here with me. When we come back, we'll talk about, start with autism, because, again, out of control. Everybody stay here with me. More from Dane Winnington.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And my team has asked me over and over again to remind you to listen to that little promo for us and the Mrs. Green's World mission and vision. We really want to be the NPR of green. It takes support from all of you. So if you have some money in the budget that you're looking to spend, go to my website, MrsGreensWorld.com, and become a sustaining member. You can do it for any amount, and we would really appreciate your support so that we can bring you shows like this. Okay, our guest is Dane Winnington. He has a background in renewable energy. I'm going to tell you again, he was an employee of Bechtel Power Corporation, and he is leading the charge, taking the shots at the head of the parade about geoengineering from chemtrails. So, Dane, thank you for saying yes to what you have said yes to, and we were talking about autism, which, again, my background, I remember sitting in a team meeting, and we had a national company. It's still one of the largest mental health companies in the country. And I would say the same thing. I said, is there a sale on autism today? Every fourth kid we're talking about in our staffings has autism. What's going on? So that, and that was like 10 years ago. So the beginning of my awareness was back then saying, something's wrong, folks. So talk about autism.
How many red flags do we need
right.
for people to understand they're being buried in a mountain of toxic metal and chemical particulates as part of the ongoing climate engineering juggernaut of insanity? In regards to autism, we've seen from 1975 to 2014 over a 10,000% increase from 1 in 5,000 to 1 in 47. Now we're told in less than 10 years by MIT, researchers at MIT, I'm sure your listeners know who MIT is.
They better, or they shouldn't be listening to this show.
They should. 1 in 2 will have autism. 1 in 2. And that doesn't mean the one who's not diagnosed is healthy. None of us are healthy right now. None
right.
of us are firing on all neurons right now. We can't, because this material is absolutely positively in the air column. We have lab tests from around the globe to prove it. We're breathing it. It's in every human test subject that it's tested for, hair, blood, urine. The bottom line is, this is an all-out assault, period. If we don't deal with this issue, nothing else will matter very, very soon. And again, the rates I gave earlier, the species extinction rate, the rate of climate feedback fueling that's kicking into the system right now, that's geoengineering is a huge contributor to, from the methane, mass methane expulsion happening in the Arctic right now, ozone depletion, from every direction, Earth's natural systems are being completely disrupted while the entire planet and the entire web of life is being contaminated with these toxic materials. Again, there's other sources of contamination. I'm not negating that. Anthropogenic activity has wreaked havoc on our planet, but mathematically speaking, nothing compares to the climate engineering assault.
And when you think about it, it's coming down from the sky, so every single aspect of our world is affected. The rivers, the oceans, the trees, our breathing systems. I mean, it's just so everywhere. It's not like river contamination that can be contained. It, to me, it's such a broader, more terrifying, you know, possibility. Not, you know what I'm trying to say. It's like you can't escape breathing. You can stay away from a contaminated river, but you're not going to be stopping your intake of breath anytime soon. So,
Dane,
go ahead. Give me some hope. I need some hope here. Throw me a lifeline. Are there things that you see that are encouraging, that people are opening their minds, that they're willing to listen? Do you have hope? I mean, you obviously have hope, or you just like go away and, you know, play with the animals. But what is happening that gives you some modicum of hope, if anything, that the scales might be tipping just a tiny bit?
If I could back up here to fortify what you stated about there being no place to hide, we have another study from 2010 on 1,000 whales from the most remote places on the planet that contained, and the report stated, and I'm quoting verbatim, that the whales contained jaw-dropping levels of aluminum in the tissue. There's nowhere to hide from these programs, and you think they can are simply in denial. So we must face this issue. We must. This is the hole in the bottom of the ship. If we don't plug, the ship is going down, and we're all knee-deep on the deck right now. Hope lies in this. One, all should consider that this is something that must be done regardless of the lack of guarantee of a positive outcome. I mean, we must try to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because, as our society has been trained, don't try anything unless you're guaranteed success. And
right.
That is truly a very poor philosophy.
So awful, but so true.
It is. I mean, our will is all that any of us own, and the correct use of that will is what belongs to us. It's our responsibility. It's not an option to use our will correctly. It's an obligation. We owe this to our children. We owe this to the planet. We owe it to all life. If we could take a quantum leap in the right direction, and right now people need to understand we're past the point of any return to the planet we've known. Not going to happen mathematically.
I agree with that. Totally.
In any time frame that matters. I mean, we look at previous past extinction events, the equilibrium periods afterward, we will never know the hospitable planet we've known, but we could yet preserve the planet's ability to sustain life. Isn't that worth fighting for? And if there's one thing that we could do to put a hole in the armor of the collective insanity, if we could expose this issue, every single human being on the planet would realize they have been irreparably damaged by those in power, without their knowledge, without their consent. And we would have a galvanizing factor greater than any other to unite against this insanity and fight for the common good. This is the issue that we must expose, which would overturn everything in the power structure. And that is why I'm focused on this issue. There's a lot of challenges we could face, and I'm aware of all of them. I'm very environmentally concerned. I'm an environmentalist to the gills. But I'm sadly disappointed in the environmentalist community, Gina, that has been pitifully inadequate in addressing this issue. In fact, in total denial. I've been on national radio with Greenpeace's top scientist who clearly knew this was going on but wouldn't admit to it. I cornered him as much as I could without being taken off the air.
And what happened? I want to hear about that. I mean, they're known as the radicals. Did it go? Did they?
Absolutely not. They're bought, sold, and paid for. And I, you know, this is a sort of controlled opposition. How about McGibbon with 350.org, who rallied, you know, how many hundreds of thousands for the climate march, who receives money from the Rockefeller Foundation? Now, that's compromised, period. And they will not address this issue. They will not. They're too worried about their 501c3 nonprofits. And this is inexcusable. This is hypocrisy beyond belief that these environmental organizations are content getting their donations and out mowing the yard while the house is burning to the ground. It's inexcusable. So we need to put pressure on these people to actually show some sense of morality and address this issue. Because if we don't address this issue, nothing else will matter. Saving a fish or a frog, and I care about all of them, won't matter when the planet no longer supports life. And to give you an idea of the time horizon, and I know a lot of people will roll their eyes and walk away at this, mathematically speaking right now, the best data available from the front lines, given the methane mass expulsion and the current trajectories of extinction and positive feedback loops, we're looking at a planet that will not support life, mathematically speaking, in the Northern Hemisphere, no life past 2030, Southern Hemisphere 2040. And that doesn't mean we're here till then. And that's if nothing gets worse. And however astounding that may be, I challenge anybody to investigate what I'm saying look at the rates, look at the trajectories. This is from the best frontline scientists available. And we're not talking about a linear equation. That's what's important for people to understand. This is a non-linear equation. So people need to adjust their thinking and understand this problem is not off on the horizon. Right now, we have a very limited time frame to change course of direction. And the single greatest leap we could take in the right direction is to expose this issue, allow the planet to respond on its own, and to completely alter our trajectory, if you will.
And, you know, so from what I can see, and I am not, I don't have a team of researchers like Oprah that can, you know, check everything nine ways from Tuesday, but I do a lot of really good research. What would your, this is what, why I got so interested and was so eager to have you on. What would your greatest detractor or the agency that's wanting to just shut you down say about your scientific research? I mean, to me, when anybody talks to me about the joke about the numbers were wrong with climate change, no, they weren't. You know, I've had Jonathan Overpeck on the show. There were a couple of miscalculations on one page of an extensive document that Fox News took and said, look, these numbers are wrong. And you know what? They were. It didn't in any way affect the overall impact of that report on climate change and global warming. So what would a scientist sitting here with counterpoint say about Dane Wigington, the kook? His research is flawed. You don't take any money from anybody, from what I can see. You have a passion that is tied to your own family, to the wildlife preserve, to your land. What would they say, and what could they do to shoot some holes in it?
First of all,
is that a fair question?
It is. The climate change situation is, again, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the climate data is horribly wrong in the opposite direction of what people like Fox News would like to tell us.
Got it.
The IPCC, largest scientific panel on any subject in human history, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, does not even include ozone destruction, climate feedback loops like methane mass expulsion, not even in their modeling. What does that mean? It means that our situation is exponentially worse than any worst-case prediction they've yet put out. Exponentially worse, not better, worse. If I said the world was round, these disinformation sources would set about proving it's flat, and that I'm wrong about it being round. That's we need to consider that. In regard to what we see in our skies, the greatest lie ever propagated on the human race is that we are seeing, quote, condensation trails. I challenge anyone, look at our film footage. We have film of these trails being turned on and off, can't turn condensation on and off. We know all commercial aircraft, all military tankers, high bypass turbofan jet engine, jet-powered fan. 85% of the air that passes through it is non-combusted, designed for fuel economy. It's almost incapable of making any condensation trail, except under very rare circumstances. We have a tutorial on the homepage to prove this. We have film footage of these being turned on and off. When you walk down the street on a cold day, if you have a cold day anymore, I know we do in the East because the East is engineered to the cold side. I'll highlight on that in a minute. But do you walk a mile down the street and look back behind you and see your condensed air hanging like a cloud behind you? Of course not.
No.
Of course not. And on the East, for those who live in the East, they struggle with the fact the planet's in meltdown. I challenge people to look at article after article I have put out. The most anomalously cold place in the entire world for the last 2+ years is the eastern half of the U.S. lower 48. Sticks out like a sore blue thumb in a red world. Why? Because that has altered the perception of the population. They want to keep the American population asleep as long as possible, so they're engineering cool downs, engineered winter storms. Look it up. Don't believe me. Chinese scientists announced they were doing this, covered by mainstream media. Do we think we can't do it? Do we think it's not a little unusual that we hear Boston snow, Boston snow, Boston snow over and over, and nothing about the fact that 14,000 feet up in the Sierras, there's nothing, that it's 90 degrees in California in the middle of winter, that there's fires burning everywhere. There was temperatures inside the Arctic Circle earlier this year, 97 degrees. We don't hear about that. So they're trying to hide. A huge part, to go back to your question earlier, what's all the aspects of geoengineering? Amongst everything I already said, a huge factor is trying to hide the severity of what's unfolding till the last possible moment, hide it from the public, even if they're doing immensely more damage by doing that. And that is their mentality, Gina. Look at the Gulf oil spill. Look at the Macondo spill where they used, quote, Corexit to hide the oil. Corexit made that situation 52 times worse, according to environmental impact reports. But they used it because the goal was to hide it. Same thing here.
And big companies, like I told you off air, I have so much respect for the Environmental Working Group. And while I was finishing up preparing for the show, you know, an email came in from them about PFOA, which is a Teflon coating, and the 16.5 million that DuPont, I think it was, paid to cover it up. They knew they were contaminating the water, and it took the EPA 8 years to produce the current advisory level. So there you go. They knew, the government knew, Ohio knew, huge fine, huge cover-up, and then we find out about it 8 years later. And what I want to say is it's linked to kidney and testicular cancer, birth defects, damage to immune system, heart and thyroid disease, complications during pregnancies, and the EPA had that information for 8 years. Thank you so much for protecting me. I mean, that's how I felt. And I'm like, okay, interesting that I'm having Dane on the show. This is just a validation to the one tiny little head of a pin insight as to what can happen. And I am certainly starting to sound like a conspiracy theorist. And I say to know better is to do better. And don't be a conspiracy theorist, be an activist.
And on that note, if I could elaborate on what people can do very briefly.
Yes, do.
We have in the upper left of the homepage of Geoengineering Watch, there's an activist suggestions link and a flaming arrow link. The premise of the flaming arrow link is it's a prepackaged letter with links inside that you can send to anyone, Alzheimer's groups, autism groups, ag groups. The list is endless. Give them a heads up on this issue. That's hard science data. And those links, it's already prepared. And any one of your listeners from their own home computer could be the final grain of rice to tilt the scale in the right direction and start the landslide. We all have this power, but we must exercise it. Start spot fires of awareness everywhere so they litter the landscape and merge into a giant blaze that can no longer be put out or hidden by the power structure-controlled mainstream media. Everyone is needed in this battle. All hands on deck. If everyone effectively shares data, and you have to effectively share data, you can't go out in the street and point at the sky and start ranting.
Right.
That
right.
doesn't help. So do it effectively, but help us. Help us to sound the alarm by sharing credible data. Start spot fires of awareness that will then feed on themselves. The mathematical equation I often cite is this. If one person successfully awakens two at the first day of a 30-day month, and those two each the second day, and so on, for that 30 days, that's 5.5 million in 30 days. That math is correct. I encourage everyone to please help us reach critical mass. If we do, there will be a shockwave around the globe and a paradigm shift will follow. We must expose this issue.
And everybody, you have to know, it's geoengineeringwatch.org. What Dane referred to is very easy to find. There's a very dramatic picture of someone with a bow and arrow and a flame at the end of the arrow. And, you know, I just say to people, just do something. Decide this is going to be your thing. And I am astounded at the little bit of amount it takes for our elected officials to start paying attention. It's not like they need 10,000 letters. If they have 100 people start making noise, they start saying, what's going on here? They might not change their opinions, but it doesn't take a lot. And you've had almost 18 million visitors to your website. I don't know how those how that breaks out, but people are starting to listen. So everybody, we are at the end of the show. Dane, I thank you for being willing to do an hour interview. I wish you the best. We will be putting it up. I hope you'll give a shout out to this interview in any way that you can through your media so that it's like I started the show. We just want you to think. I didn't tell anybody what to think. Neither did you. Just think, read the facts, get the science. And then you decide as a thinking member of this planet what you're going to do about it. So that's my farewell. And next week, another great show. Joining me will be Rob Stewart, who's the director of the film Revolution, the movie. And he's another one on the path to inspire us all to make changes. Dane, we'll stay connected. Thanks for showing up in Mrs. Green's world. Make it a great green week, everybody.
Thank you.